Ephesians chapter 4, if you would please, in your Bibles this morning. So I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad that you're in the house of God. And we're going to hear from God's Word this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read these first 16 verses of Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can read out loud with me on the even verses down through verse 16. Paul writes to the Ephesians in verse 1 of chapter 4 and says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. Edifying of itself in love. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, is spiritual development. You know, we need to develop spiritually as believers in Christ. And that goes without saying that we have to be in Christ first to be able to develop spiritually. We have to have a new life in Christ through salvation to be able to live that life and to be able to grow. Do you know something that doesn't exist that grows? No. It has to do what first? It has to exist first and then it can grow, right? Or it needs to exist first and then it can develop. These things are just simply true. We know that we need to be made alive in Christ. We know that we are dead in trespasses and sins without Jesus Christ, and therefore we must be born again. Is that not what Jesus told Nicodemus? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, ye must be born again. We've got to have this new life in Christ in order to grow, in order to develop, in order to mature, in order to become what we need to be in Christ Jesus. But you see that beginning point, that onset of life in Christ as a sinner come to Jesus without hope, needing salvation, and say, Lord, save me. We ask him for forgiveness of our sins. We ask him to come into our heart and become our Savior. We are born and made new in Christ Jesus. And then the work begins. And then the work begins. And then the life begins. And then the development begins. And then the growth begins. Spiritual development is something we all need. You say, but I've been a Christian for X amount of years. Great. And it doesn't matter if it's been 1, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. We all need spiritual development. In our lives, we need to grow and abound. If we don't, what is that? Yeah, it's exactly about that. It's nothing. It's stagnation. What happens to stagnated water? It begins to stink. Now, I don't know what y'all call them down here. Swamps, maybe? Okay, up in North Dakota or up in the north, we call them sloughs. You ever heard of a slough? Okay, that's what we call it. I don't know what exactly what term that is necessarily, but that's what we call them. Okay, sloughs. And a slough is a stagnant pool of water. Okay, you got cattails and things that are there growing about them. And the key note that you know it's a slough is it stinks. Okay, it just stinks. We don't want to be a stagnant Christian, do we? We don't want to just grow cattails and stink. You know, that's not what we're looking for. I'm not talking about, you know, meow cattails. You know what cattails are, right? The long, wispy, green leaves, and then it has a stem that has the little puffy brown thing that poofs out at the, you know, cattails. Okay. I don't know how else to explain them. That's the best I can do. So we don't want to be stagnant. We want it to be developed. And here's the wonderful thing about development. It's not all the same. Development is development. If it's just, you know, one small, minute thing, well, that's development, right? Well, we've talked about fruit bearing before. And if a tree produces one piece of fruit 1 year, right? And then grows a couple new branches, and the next year puts on three pieces of fruit. You say, big deal. Well, yeah, it's a big deal. It's development. You know what would be bad is if that tree just every year put on one fruit. Or if 1 year it put on a fruit, and the next year, no fruit. And the next year, one fruit. And the next year, no fruit. And the next year, one fruit. And the next year, no fruit. I mean, that's not development, is it? Okay? So we want to focus on this thing of development. We understand that God wants us to develop. Look at verse 13 of our text. It says that this is, all these things have a purpose. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. Now, how many of you are at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Guess what? Look up here. I'm not either. But you're the pastor. So what? You know that I have development in my life that I need to make? Just as much as you have development in your life that you need to make. Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 2. The wonderful thing about this whole topic is we have a chief example. You know the story of Jesus as a boy. Some scholars think he was around maybe 10 to 12 or 13 years old at this moment in the scriptures. It's not exactly understood how old he was, but somewhere in that range scholars seem to think. You know the story how they went to Jerusalem as a family, and he went to the temple, and he was in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And we know that all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers, and they were amazed, right? and all these things. So we know that all this was taking place in Jesus' life. And his family went off and left him. And they didn't know that they had left him, right? And so they come back and they find him, and they go through all that dialogue there. And it says that in verse 51, it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." So he told them that he needed to be about his father's business. Of course, he was talking about God the Father. And all of these things. But then we see this very unique passage of scripture. And I've mentioned this before, and we've even talked about this before. But I was thinking about spiritual development, and I was thinking about this verse in Ephesians, how it says that we're supposed to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, he's our example. We're supposed to be conformed to the image of his dear son. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be like him in our mind and in our body and in our spirit. And we're supposed to be little Christ, Christians. And we're supposed to develop spiritually. And we know that Christ is our ultimate example. And so that just dwelling upon that passage of scripture in Ephesians 4 and thinking about it, my mind immediately jumped to this verse in Luke 2:52. It's one of my favorite verses because it's such a wild verse. Because it's talking about our Savior. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the one that came from heaven, born miraculously, born out of due time. And in all of these things, and the Messiah, and the one who in the beginning was with God, and the one who in the beginning was God, the light of the world, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. I mean, we're talking about the Lord here, the only creature who is God and man at the same time. Amazing. And the Bible says this about him. It says, and Jesus increased. I mean, that every time I read that verse, I have it memorized. I know it by heart. That just goes, my mind just goes every time. I don't know about y'all. Every time. And Jesus increased. How? How can Jesus increase in anything? How is that possible? Do you have the same thought I do? What? But if he is our example, if he is the ultimate to become, to think of, to look like, to act like, to get to that place, and it says here, it says that be speaking the truth may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is what we're trying to attain unto. Which, by the way, we're never going to get there. But that doesn't mean we don't attain to it. That doesn't mean we don't go after it. That doesn't mean we don't keep pressing forward. As Paul said, I press for the prize of the press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're actively seeking it. This spiritual development ought to be happening in our lives consistently. And Jesus increased. You know what our life's motto needs to be? And Eric increased. And church member XYZ increased. Folks, if we're not going forward, what direction are we going?
Back.
You say, but I'm not going forward or back. Well, last I checked, God said he wishes that we should either be hot or cold, not lukewarm. Now, I told you before, and it's going to be true, these messages usually spawn other messages. So we have another message waiting in the gates there on the on-deck circle. And if this one is called spiritual development, what do you suppose the next one's called? Spiritual decline. So if we're not going forward, we're going backwards, folks. We need to be moving forward. And if Jesus, our great example, increased, then certainly we, his people, called by his name, and he even gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Spiritual development is so very important. So, the question begs to be asked then, how do we develop spiritually? Why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The first thing that is said here in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Right there in 1 Corinthians 9, look what it says. Paul writing to the church in Corinth, a very carnal church, a fleshly church, one seeking after the things of man. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Over in 1 Timothy, we're told that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, when Jesus is talked about in Luke 2:52, he's a young man and he's increasing in wisdom and stature. You understand that physically we need to develop. That's a good thing. And listen, I am for young men and young women, and even old men and old women, if you will, exercising. That's a good thing. It's a profitable thing. But to what end? Are you exercising to spoil it on your own lusts? To look good in the eyes of men? Because, you know, these young men, and young ladies, I don't know if young ladies do this or not. I'm not sure. I've not seen that around my house. But we have this natural affection with looking good, right? The physique and physical. What's out there in our community these days, in the world these days? What's it all about? Yeah? How we look? That is not the reason we should increase in stature. We ought to increase in stature so that we can more effectively serve God. Hey, is a healthy believer in Christ, physically healthy believer in Christ, a productive one? Certainly can be, right? Or should be able to be. Hey, you want to go out and be a witness? How about in this heat here? You think we should be healthy if we're going to go out in this heat? Certainly. Right? And to be able to go out door to door. To be able to walk about. And you know what? I abused my body as a young man thinking I was indestructible. And there are some things that give me trouble, even at 44 years of age. And all of you that are a little bit older than I am and maybe a little bit more abused, are saying, ha ha, you have no idea. Okay? Yes, I understand. I do understand. But it is important to care for what God has given to us. Now, do I think you can go overboard on the health craze thing? Yeah, I think so. But I think you can go underboard too. Right? So, what's the motive? Do you understand what I'm talking about? What's the motive behind the development? Is it to serve God more effectively? To be able to do what God wants us to do? Hey, how about this? Maybe even perhaps with the health and everything, that we should be able to, for a longer duration, serve God on this earth, if He so wills. You know, it'd be all right to serve the Lord for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. That'd be all right. Now, notice I said my motive was to serve the Lord, not to consume it upon my own lusts. God gives us warning of those type things. So we know that we should keep our body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We need to make sure that we're growing in wisdom and in stature. Over in Proverbs, we've talked about wisdom many times. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know that we can grow in wisdom? Did you know that? You know, as a young person, we think we know everything. And we find out as we grow older that we don't know anything. Huh? Yes. We need wisdom. Well, Solomon says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. That's the one I struggle with. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring honor, bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. We need to increase in wisdom and in stature. We need to become what God wants us to become in our body and our mind. Doesn't Paul tell the Corinthians, hey, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Hey, we're supposed to, aren't we told in Romans that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service? Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. What does that tell us? It tells us that if you are wise, you can be wiser. What is that? Development. Jesus increased in wisdom. Again, I don't know how many times I could tell you this. That thought just blows my mind. And I'm not repeating myself because I forgot what I said. Okay, I'm doing it for emphasis. Jesus increased in wisdom. Wisdom. Jesus. Wisdom. Are you getting that? I mean, my mind just, it's just out of this world. So if Jesus can increase in wisdom and in stature, the stature part I get. He was a kid, right? 12 years old, 13 years old. I get that part. And he was a carpenter's son. So Don't believe these effeminate pictures of Jesus that are out there from the 1500s. Okay? I'm telling you, Jesus was built. Okay, maybe not like Arnold, but you know, I mean, I'm sure he was there. He was a carpenter's son. He was no slouch physically. Crucified in the prime of his life, right? And all of you in your early 30s said amen, right? This is what we're talking about here. So we understand that he is physically capable, but also in wisdom and in mind. The Bible says, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we've been told that Paul told Timothy to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Back in our text, we're told, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to increase. God wants us to develop spiritually. This is part of spiritual development. Would anybody in here consider Jesus Christ spiritual? I would. And if he needed to increase in wisdom and stature, so we, the believer in Christ, need to increase in wisdom and stature. It's important for us to do these things. As managers of the body that God has allowed us to dwell in on this earth, being born again, being bought with a price, we should do all we can to not only develop physically, but to develop mentally in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We need to increase. Look at the next thing that Jesus increased in. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Favor with God. Let me ask you a question. Since the day of salvation, have you increased in favor with God? Are you in the same favor with God that you were then? Or have you declined in favor with God? You can see, because it only can be those three things, can it not? Can it be anything else? Or maybe you increased in favor, but now you've declined in favor. Are you like the children of Israel? Spiritual roller coaster. Right with God, forget God. Right with God, forget God. Right with God, forget God. Come back to God, forget God. Cry out to God, deliver me, forget God. We just... like we're at Six Flags. all over the place. Favor with God. How can God increase in favor with himself? You see why this blows my mind? He increased. Now, do you believe scripture is true? Jesus increased in wisdom. Stature, I get that one. And in favor with God. Wow. Wow. What desire do you have? What desire do I have to increase in favor with God? We all know that when Jesus was baptized, it was said This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Did you know that later on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, God said something very similar out of the voice of the cloud. He said this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You said, "He already said that once." Yeah, but this one, there's a semicolon after it. It says this, "Hear ye him." Okay. Okay. God is pleased with his Son. And God wants to be pleased with you and I. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones." That shows something that is developing, lively. "Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Are you in favor with God? And let me ask you this. Are you growing in favor with God? Are you more in favor with God than you were in the past? Are you more in favor with God than you were yesterday, today? Are you more in favor with God last year, this year? Or when you first got saved to now, so many years later? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. Solomon said, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Do you want to please God with your life? Are you looking for that favor? Are you looking to the Master and looking for him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Hey, who do you want to please? Should we be on the lookout to please men? Should we be trying to grow in favor with them? Because Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. You say, "But yeah, you're not saying the rest of the verse." Not yet. That's point number three. We're not there yet. Because this one came first. Why did it not say that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with man and in favor with God? Because favor with God comes first. And if we'll gain favor with God, guess what will automatically happen? The other. The other. Don't get the cart before the horse. We need to make sure that we are focused on being in favor with God, pleasing the Lord with our lives. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony." Is there a sign above your head that says, "You have this testimony that he pleased God"? What a testimony. What an amazing fact that God was so happy with Enoch that he just said, hey, you know what? Enoch, we've been walking down here on this earth. Let's come walk in heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? As far as we know in Scripture, that only happened to two men. So, do you please God? Do you want to please God? Are you growing in favor? Is there development there? Or is there stagnation? Or, God forbid, is there backsliding? Are we declining in that area? In 1 Thessalonians, he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. We've talked about 1 John chapter 1. Walking in the light as he is in the light. That if we walk with him, or say we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We need to be developing spiritually in favor with God. And the last one this morning, he does say that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. Now we know that we're not supposed to be friends with the world. We're not supposed to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And you know what? That even tells us further in Scripture that because they hate Jesus and they hate God, they're going to hate us. But that doesn't mean that we do things evil to make them hate us. You see what I'm saying? If they hate us because of Christ and because of living right and because of living well, God says we're supposed to rejoice in that. We're supposed to be thankful for that. So what I'm talking about is we need to make sure that we're living the life and being in favor with God, and therefore God will have us in favor with man. If you listen to this in Acts chapter 2, was everybody in Jerusalem happy that people were believing in Jesus? No. Did the religious rulers persecute them? Hurt them? Arrest them? Speak bad things about them? Okay, do any of those things sound like favor with man? No, but listen to this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Huh.
How about that?
As we live our lives pleasing God and growing in favor with Him, we will grow in favor with man. Maybe not all men. Some will hate us. Some will persecute us. But some will be favorable unto us. Because they'll see the light of Jesus Christ and glorify God because of it. You say, how do you know that's true? Well, Jesus said it was true. He said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We're told furthermore that God wants us to be honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Are you honest in your dealings with others? Do you live out your life in Christ so that they can see your good works and glorify God? Do people want to know what makes you different? Hey, why don't you just lie to get ahead a little bit? Why don't you just take a little bit of the extras leftovers here from the company? They don't need them. They have enough and you could use it. Why aren't you like that? Why aren't you like me? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to let our light shine. We need to increase in favor with man. As we live our lives in Jesus Christ, we'll be a testimony. Others will see it in fear. Others will see it and want to know God. Time fails me today to tell you about the Apostle Paul. But you know his testimony. And you know what? Overall, he was well received, wasn't he? Overall, in a general sense, even when he was imprisoned, he had favor. He was given his own quarters. People were allowed to come and go, right? Isn't that favor? He said, but he was arrested. I know. But he still had favor with man. Why? Because of his testimony and his favor with God. And that's the kind of life we need to live. As he spoke before kings, as he spoke before governors, he was received. Now remember the account that Festus said that Paul was insane. But Agrippa said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix even said, hey, when it's time more convenient, I'll listen to you. Even though he never did. You understand that God wants us to have an influence. He wants us to be and have that favor with man. Why should they listen to us? Why should they hear what we have to say? Why should they believe what I believe is true to be true? Because of growing in favor with man. Why do you think someone, when you pull out a gospel tract, believes that what you have to say is different than what their church has always said, or their religion has always said, and this is the truth? You know why? Because we have favor with God, therefore we can increase in favor with man. And they'll listen to us. Because of our testimony. Because of the life we live. Because it's real. And that's spiritual development. I hope that you can say in your life that you're like Jesus. In my life, I want to be like Jesus and increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with man. He says that we should be increasing. That we should come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Spiritual development is what we all need in our lives as Christians.